produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings. My name is Matsia Mugwena, coming from South Africa. The name of the program is called The Voice of God, Lentswe la Modimo, and we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network USA and World, and this program is produced by Mercedes Kodu. Today I would like to talk about forgiveness. A lot of times we struggle with forgiveness. In our Bible, in animantswe a re gothatsang to understand why forgiveness is so important. I would like to start by reading from the book of Luke 23, ke bala from verse 34. As I read, it says, "Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now, this is a powerful statement that was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke these words when he was in pain. He was not in a comfortable situation when he spoke these words. And I understand that a lot of times we have to forgive, especially in times where we don't feel like we want to forgive, because we believe that we have every reason to be angry at whoever that has offended us. You even risen to God and say, how can I forgive them when they have done so many things to me? And this is the frustration that a lot of us, we struggle with, especially when it comes to forgiveness. But the word of God, it's always speaking to every type of struggle. And today, I would like us to talk about the specific struggle, erring ribitsa ka hore ke forgiveness. It is the struggle of forgiveness. Why should I forgive them, Lord? But here is a man that understands, and he speaks the most powerful words, and ori, they do not know what they are doing. Now, these are the words of the Lord, the Son of God, the one who knew no sin. He says, they don't know what they are doing. Now, this is the only truly innocent man on earth that ever had to experience being treated unfair. A lot of times, the reason why we struggle, it's because we are thinking and saying, but they were unfair to me. I was innocent. Nobody ever spoke to me and hear my side of the story. A lot of times we say there are two sides to every story. But here the Lord Jesus Christ, as innocent as he was, he is being crucified. He was on the cross, even when he said these words. You know, sometimes he spoke this word and he says, Lord, forgive them. Something is not right with them, but I pray you forgive them. Now, while he even said those words, while as innocent as he was, people still did not believe him. The Bible says the crowd, they laughed, they insulted him. They continued to mock him. Even when you are in pain, even when you are trying to say, Lord, forgive them, they continuously insult you. They do not stop. They continuously mock you like they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a pattern that is normally in this world, that Even though you have forgiven them, they continue to mock you. Now they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are the Son, if you are the King of Israel, they said to him, come down from the cross and save yourself. A lot of times your mockers will say, where is your God? We see you every day going in and out of church, but where is your God? And at times, you know, when you are in pain, you need words that will encourage you. But when people are saying to you, if you are the King of Israel, come down from the cross and save yourselves, those are not words that can encourage anybody. The situation did not need such words. Now, here is the reason. The leaders, they hated him, and they were happy to see him suffer. There are people who are just happy to see you suffer. They don't want to know whether you are innocent or not. They just hate you. And it's unfortunate that when people have decided to hate you, it is very difficult to prove your innocence. When they are happy to see you suffer, it is absolutely very difficult to even forgive them. But here are the words that are so powerful, and I carry these words with me, and they are from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, they do not know what they are doing. Maybe your argument might be, Mare, they know. They should know this is wrong. Why is it that they continue to do wrong unto me? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us that people can hurt us deliberately and repeatedly, just like they did to him, all because of the word hate. They hated him because he spoke the truth and they didn't agree with the truth. Sometimes disagreements, they tend to bring in this hate, and it grows, and repeatedly you see people hating each other. But the Bible says that in spite of all these things, he made a prayer and said, Father. He realized that I, as the Lord, I must call upon somebody else to forgive them. Now, people at times, they can attack and bring pain. And everything in you can only feel pain. And how that forgiveness, how can I forgive when I am in so much pain because of them? Sometimes it can be our friends, can be colleagues, our parents, our family, your brothers, your sisters, the neighbors, and even at times it can be our fellow Christians. Forgiving people does not mean that we must overlook or stay in any abusive environment. You know, when somebody does not seem to choose the nicest words to you, it hurts you. And you find yourself having to avoid for the sake of peace. But what I have learned is that forgiveness is more about the issue of the heart. God is simply saying, it's not so much about you having to pretend or you having to be extremely or over the board about, loving them. You know, I love you. It doesn't matter what happened. I love you. You know, people speak like that, but their heart is speaking a different language. You know, sometimes we tolerate people and then they do something so small and then you decide to just scream. Because that issue that is in the heart, it is still there. You have not dealt with it. That is why it is about your heart. God is saying, do not forgive them just to get along. He says, forgive them from their heart. There is a condition of the heart that must forgive these people. And you can only do that by God's grace, because it is not always going to be easy. Especially if they repeatedly, continuously insult and mock you, you get irritated by them. The Bible says, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It is possible to be nice and pretend, yet still really never forgive them. Sometimes it's because the pain and being disappointed, it becomes too much. Your heart gets tired of forgiving them because their actions, they don't seem to change. I am not denying the pain that they have caused you, because whatever that has happened cannot be changed. But let me speak about this thing and realizing that bitterness does not produce peace. Bitterness does not produce happiness, and we need to have peace. And peace only comes from the Lord. And may He also help us, that let us forgive as He has forgiven us. We need to learn the secret of forgiveness from the Lord Himself when He said, Father, forgive them. I would like to read Matthew 18. Gebala from verse 21 to 22. This is a question, and a very important question from Peter. He's asking and he says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? He says, up to 7 times. Now he's asking because this thing, it keeps on happening. It's repeating itself and says, how many times? Clearly, this person is not stopping what they're doing, and he's recording the times, the minutes, the years that this thing has been going on. And he says, how many times? And Jesus says to him, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And clearly you can't be counting, this is the first time, the second time, the third time. You can never get to that number. But he was saying and saying to him, forgiveness lies at the heart of our faith in God. He was saying, trust God to help you forgive. That is why when he said, Lord, Father, forgive them, he was encouraging us to forgive, just like he had to forgive on the cross. If we are going to follow Jesus, we must learn from him, and we must also forgive, because we also have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. People have attacked you. They have abused, they have mistreated you, and they have even humiliated you in public. And because of all these things, we become hard. Something inside of us is trying to protect itself by having this shield of saying, I will not let them humiliate me again. I will not let them attack me that way again. But let's be careful, because this hardness has made it difficult for us to forgive them. I pray that the Lord may soften our hearts to hear the truth. Gore modimo nka re pelwenana a yetse ithape hore gono ho tshwarela, because when we give our hearts to the Lord, when we surrender to him, he's able to soften our hearts, to hear the truth, and to forgive others. May the Lord give us the courage we need to let go of the bitterness, of the anger, and of keeping score. What makes it difficult to forgive is because you have been counting for so many years so many times that this person is not willing to stop this behavior. May we enter a miracle of forgiveness. Refitla moloring haseka ma emomore tswara lenteng empara tswara la, because the word of God says forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. And I will read Matthew 5 as I read from verse 23 to 24. It says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, he says, here's a piece of advice. He says, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. And then you come back and offer your gift. He's not saying, I don't want the gift. He's saying, we need to fix their heart, because this heart cannot come to me with unforgiveness. Your sacrifice cannot come to me when you have unforgiveness. He says, that's not the God that I am to you. I am the God who forgives, and I need you to do as I do, and that is to reconcile to your brother, reconcile to your sister. God is simply saying, let us fix this issue of unforgiveness in your heart. Don't come and just sacrifice, but fix the heart, because I look at the heart as God. I would like to read from Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15. It says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. God is saying, I need you to forgive just as I have forgiven you. And as I read Mark 11, reading from verse 25, it says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your heavenly Father may also forgive your sins. Give, because we blame God. We say, but God, someone I loved died, and you did not heal them. Or you might say, God, someone I loved, you did not protect them. We do not understand why the God, the healer, did not heal our loved ones, or did not heal your friend who died. But we struggle. We continue to struggle with these feelings for years and years. But when we read the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm encouraged by that book. I'll read Ecclesiastes 3. When I read, I'll read from verse 2. It says, there is a time. God is a God who knows seasons. He says, there is a time to be born and a time to die. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time of war and a time of purpose. But he says, to everything. Everything, it means to your weeping, to you laughing, to war, to peace. He says there is a season for all those things. A lot of times when we do not forgive, we become angry and revengeful. Because we have not forgiven those people, you look at them and you say, I am going to get even with them. And God is saying, I don't want you to be on that level of revenge. I need you to come to my level. And that level is to forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now, Romans 12 verse 19, Irharibal. Never take your own revenge, beloved. But leave room or leave a place for God's wrath. For it is written, revenge is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. That means he's simply saying to us, don't do it yourself, because forgiveness, it means, according to the Bible, resisting revenge, praying for them, not repaying evil for evil. He's saying, reconcile with them, not rejoicing when your enemy falls. I pray that the Lord will help us to forgive them, because God is encouraging that, and his word can never lie to us. Now, the Bible says, if you forgive those who sin against you, he says, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. He says, there's a deal that I am making here. I am saying, if you forgive them, then I, the Lord, will also forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not also forgive your sins. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot separate receiving forgiveness and extending forgiveness to others. He's saying, I am giving it to you. You need to also extend and give it to others, just like I have extended forgiveness on the cross for all of you. He says, I pray that the Lord will help you to let go of all the bitterness, the anger, the revenge. You see, revenge will always try to take over because it reasons the situation. It reasons how many times. But God says, don't count how many times. Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I pray that the Lord will soften your heart by healing it through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Matsya Mukwena, and that's all we have for today. And we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network, USA and World. And this program is produced by Mercedes Godu. God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, glorious greetings again from South Africa, in the continent of Africa, on your airwaves that you love, Finding My Way Radio. And my name is Benjamin Kuchon, and this is your program, gloriously connecting the destiny of our glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, you remember the program called Destined for Glory. Yes, we are at that place of faith again, of believing the God who promised us in his word in Romans 8 and 28, that we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So even as we embrace our program today, Destined for Glory, let's join together in prayer. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for yet another day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And we embrace right now the sacred moment, the holy moment that you have ordained, that we can bow and embrace your word. I pray that the broken seals of your revelation, that is the embodiment of Jesus Christ, be released for every heart that is listening right now. I proclaim your breakthrough blessing in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in the character, and in the material. And by faith, we receive right now, Father, the power of your your word, for you said you exalted your word even above your name. So let it be, Father, that whoever receives your word today and hears your word is lifted up from every lowly state and put in the high places of your glory. For you said the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. So we proclaim liberty over every listener throughout the world today. And we thank you that now we beholding us in the mirror through your word. We are being changed from the same glory unto glory into the same image. And I pray that there be the change that manifests your glory in the life of everyone of your children and your listening people right now. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear listeners, this is the day again where we are continuing with the constructions of heaven in this season that we are living in right now. And I believe all around the world, everything is making way because Jesus is coming back again. Yes, this is what's going on. Everything is making way for Jesus. He's coming back again. So it's my prayer that you and I today, we will receive of his word with the expectancy of knowing that the Lord himself shall return, according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. The Bible says the Lord himself shall return with a shout and with a trumpet. The trumpet, the archangel, we shall hear the sound of heaven, and the day we cry shall rise first. We who are alive, the Bible says, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we be with the Lord. And the word continues to say, comfort one another with this word. Oh, even now, in the midst of all that's going on throughout the world, where there might be a cry of, where is our comfort? Our comfort is in that we have received the Jesus Christ, who now in us is the hope of glory. You can do the same if you have not yet received Jesus. You can come to the knowledge of receiving Jesus, that when you receive him, he becomes the hope of glory in you. So today, let me salute you with the scripture that I believe ties us together from the four corners of the earth. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, we hear Jesus speaking about the things that are affecting us this day, the things that are happening right now. And he was speaking about the end time prophecy when the disciples were asking him, what shall be the signs of the end? What shall or when shall the end be? And Jesus started telling them from Matthew chapter 24, and he said unto them there, you will see, as we read Matthew chapter 24, and he says in verse 6, rather from the warning of verse 4, take heed that no one deceive you, which means the first caution is that do not be deceived, do not be swayed by things that are not the truth, do not be deceived. And he says, well, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. He says, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Yes, in the midst of all that we are hearing throughout the word of God says, the end is not yet. He says, a nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes, and bodies in various places. Now, beloved, these are the things that we are seeing ourselves across the world. These are the things that are affecting us very closely all over the world, and right here in South Africa, throughout the world, from South Africa to the United States, from India to all of Europe to Australia. There are shakings that are summed up in the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 24. But here is the connection point for you and I today. Matthew, that verse 8 following Matthew 24, he says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows, or they are the beginning of birth pains. What is this? When he says they are the beginning of birth pains, number one, it says to you and I, heaven is pregnant pregnant with something. Heaven has conceived to birth something. And just like a woman who is carrying the baby in her womb, there is the recklessness. But because now it has happened, everything around is being shaken so that that which cannot be shaken may remain. Everything is being shaken. And God is saying, do not marvel at the shaking. Understand what is going on. Heaven is pregnant with something. There is something heaven has conceived. Now the question is, what is this? Because I want you to know wherever you are, this is the prophetic connection of your breakthrough in this season that we are living in. The question is, what is it that heaven has conceived? And I want to submit it to you that in the book of 1 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, it is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What does this mean then for us? It means heaven is expecting and has conceived to birth you and I into the nature of who God is. Yes, that's what heaven is expecting of. Heaven is expectant of the souls coming to the knowledge of the truth, the souls coming to salvation, you and I coming to salvation, coming to know Jesus Christ and being saved by His grace. It is the will of God. It is the desire of God. It is the construction of God. It is the birthplace of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why when we go forward with the same scripture of Matthew 24, he says in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Remember in verse 8, he says, these are the birth pains. It is not yet the end. And then after he says, he who endures, verse 13, he who endures to the end will be saved or shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Which means this end is what was the construction and the birthplace of heaven about. It was about the birthing of the souls coming to receive the gospel of the kingdom. So what time is this, my friend? It is the time to open your heart and your ear to the gospel of the kingdom of Christ, the gospel of the grace, the saving grace of God. Why? For it is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And let me tell you something. When we connect with heaven, that this is what heaven has conceived, then we shall be ready to pray, prayers that will forever be guaranteed to be answered. How would you love to pray the prayers that will be answered? Prayers that you know that I'm not doubting, I'm not speculating. It is sealed, it is guaranteed. Here are the prayer and the guarantee. The prayer guarantee is in that when we pray according to His will. That's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. When we pray according to His will, the word says He hears us. Oh, hallelujah. God hears us when we pray according to His will, not when we pray according to our fears, not when we pray according to the evil that is going on in the world, not when we pray according to the trouble that's going on. No. Why? Because He said in John 16 and verse 23, He said, I have spoken these things unto you so that in me you might have peace. And He said, in the world you will have trouble. And He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So He said, you cannot pray according to trouble. You've been told that trouble will be there, that trouble will be happening. But in the midst of the trouble, God is saying, I'm looking for an intercessor. the will of God, the construction of heaven, and begin to pray that, Father, let your will be done. And we say, what is his will? It is his will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And I want to salute and proclaim a blessing even upon the radio stations like Finding My Way Radio. This radio station is right now broadcasting so that the will of God be made manifest on earth, be made manifest in your life. Maybe you've been wondering, what must I do to do the will of God? And God is saying to you today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him, for that is the whole will of heaven. Heaven has conceived that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now the question might arise again in your heart as to, how do I do this? This is how we do it. We receive him who is the seed of heaven, Jesus Christ. And you must know, when you are receiving Jesus Christ, it is not just a religious slogan that we shout at Christians. No, no. This is a calculated conception of heaven where God has resolved, God decided that I want to dwell with humanity. I want to get married to humanity. And the only way I can do it is that I go down and take up their nature and I take their state so that now they will receive my nature and my character and my being. And that's why the Bible says God sent for Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time has come, Galatians 1:4 says, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. And when I conclude and say, to release us into the blessing of the grace of God. So that's why God sent Jesus. This is how we commit to do the will of God, to enjoy, to know that I am in the will of God if I receive that which heaven has conceived. So we release a prophetic caution to you wherever you are throughout the world. Listen, if heaven has conceived that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and you and I, if we reject and resist the message of the cross, the message of the love of God, we are pointing a cursing finger to the womb of heaven. We are declaring that heaven has released a sealed door. Why? Because you are still hearing the word of God. You were made by the word of God. You are even held together by the word of God, but you have not come alive to the word of God by receiving Jesus Christ. Now, wherever you are throughout the world, this is my prayer for you today, that you will open your heart and consider that heaven has conceived that you shall not walk dead in this world, but you shall walk being alive to God. Heaven cannot both be born. That's why he said in the book of Isaiah 66, he says, God will not bring it to a place of birthing and shut the womb. No, which means God cannot conceive to do something and cut it short. No, why? Because even if we were overtaken in our faltering, in our sin, in our falling down, Jesus Christ had come, he became sin for us, that we now be made the righteousness of God, which means we are forever having a connection that we can go back to God. Why? Because he has come to be the fulfillment of the desire of heaven, that when God brings to a place of birthing, he cannot shut the womb. Hallelujah. I do believe that wherever you are, there might be a question arising, therefore, what is God expecting me to do about the glorious provision of his Spirit? Before we go into the current of the seed, listen to what God is saying. I believe the words of the prophet Isaiah are the very words that will provision us for what heaven is calling us to be and how heaven is expecting us to be. In Isaiah 60, he says, arise, shine. Oh, yes. This is a time to arise. This is a time to shine. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. You must know now, this is a messianic prophecy brought by the prophet Isaiah, who represented the suffering servant Jesus Christ in his writings. The construction is of the Messiah, of his body, of his suffering, and of his being glorified. And he says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is written upon you. And then it goes on to say, like I'm working the times that we are living in right now, he says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness shall cover the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Yes, my friend, upon you. This is the time to know that God has released Jesus Christ so that the light of his glory can be your hope for you to arise in the midst of all that's going on throughout the world. The question is, what do we do? He says, arise, shine. What about the darkness? He says, I've already said it, that the darkness shall cover the earth, but when the darkness covers the earth, I, the Lord, will rise upon you. I can assure you prophetically, my beloved, that we have come to a season where there will no longer be the triumphalism of the names of men. We are coming to the place and the season of the kingdom of God, the kingdom that belongs to King Jesus Christ. And in this kingdom, King Jesus is the name that is above all names. Why? Because the Bible says, for God exalted Jesus in Philippians 2 and 9, God exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every other name. Why? Because at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that King Jesus is Lord, unto what? Unto the glory of God our Father. And that's why he says, darkness shall cover the people, but the Lord will arise over you. If the people are covered by the darkness, but the Lord is arising upon you, it means he has now redeemed you from the place of not being the people, but he has now made you the people of God. And that's what we will connect with the character of this seed of heaven called Jesus Christ, whom God has sent, so that through him, you and I might be able to connect and fulfill the will of God in the earth. The will of God, which is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, my friend, this is what it means. That if you and I do not receive Jesus Christ, all the life we think we are living is a lie. Why? Because only by receiving him that we be saved, we come to the knowledge of the truth. Every other knowledge becomes a lie without Jesus Christ. Every other knowledge becomes a lie without Jesus. We can go further to say when Jesus spoke in John chapter 14 and verse 6, and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he says, no man goes to the Father but by me. You must understand, if he says, I am the way, it means every other knowledge outside of Jesus is not the way, but it is the destruction, it is the falling, and it is the faltering. And he says, I am the truth, which means every other knowledge outside of Jesus becomes a lie. And then he says, I am the life, which means every other way outside of Christ becomes death. It is the way of death. And he says, no man goes to the Father but by me, which means any other claim of going to God or claim on God or claim on God's faith without Jesus is not truth. It is a lie. It is not of God. You must understand, it is only Jesus. He is not one of the religious
me. Oh, while I declare it right now over the airwaves and say to you, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Yes, I repeat, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. The way of your culture and your tradition will not help you. The way of your religion and your religious rituals will not help you. Nothing of my own intellectual ability will help me. But Jesus Christ alone, he is the way, the only way to the Father. There is no other way that is set by God whereby we may be saved. There is no any other name set by God whereby we have been saved. Save the name of Jesus. You know, I'm excited, my beloved, wherever you are, to know that when you receive Jesus, it is not just a religious thing. Listen, it is a quality of life that you need for your own life. Remember, when he said in Philippians 2:9 that God has exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every other name, we are living in this season where knowledge has increased. When Daniel received the prophecy of this time that we are living in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, the Lord said to him, Daniel, close the book, for these things are for an appointed time, and at that time, knowledge will increase. This is the season where we are in. Many names are branded around. Many names are known and brandished all over the world. God knew that this time is coming. But the Bible says from before the foundations of the world, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain. And God has exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name. And in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. What names am I talking about? I'm talking about the names of the diseases in your life. I'm talking about the names of the conditions in your heart. I'm talking about the conditions that might be oppressing your mind. I'm talking about the diseases that might be trying to torment your body. I'm talking about the relationships that the devil might be trying to use to bring stress and strain over your life. The name of Jesus is exalted above the names of those conditions. And you can stand in the name of Jesus and begin to declare, in Jesus' name, I command this to bow. I command this sickness to bow. I command this condition to bow. I command the strife to bow, even in my nation, in my community, in the world, in the rulership, in the domains of governance. I command everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God to bow down and yield to the name that is above every other name. I want to bring it to the rounding of my beloved by saying to you, Jesus is the quality food of heaven that God has sent so that he keeps everything that you and I could ever desire of God, starting with life itself, should only be accessible, attainable, enjoyable, experience through Jesus Christ and him alone. So I want you to look with me in the book of Colossians as we look at this quality that God chose to create all things through, because it is a quality called Jesus Christ. And I want you to consider these words in Colossians chapter 1. Consider the thing, because we are entering what I believe is a kingdom harvest time, which means that those who are praying, those who are standing in the gap, you are going to rejoice because it's harvest time. No more shall you be trained to pray like you have to create something anew again. No, God is about to show you that your harvest time has come, and it's not by might, nor by power, but it is by his Spirit that whatever we have desired and whatever heaven has conceived shall be brought forth even through our lives. It shall be brought forth. Let me read Colossians chapter 1 as our last scripture for today. You read the prayer of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, and after he prayed for them, he says, this is how I am praying, because God has delivered us from the power of darkness. And that's why I wanted you to look at it. Isaiah said, darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness shall cover the people. But now in Colossians, after the cross, after Jesus died, we are hearing the message of hope and breakthrough that in Jesus dying, in Jesus raising from the dead, in Jesus ascending to go to heaven, and in Jesus giving us the hope of his returning, he has delivered us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and God has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. This is where you are called to, my friend. You and I are called to come to connect the kingdom of the Son of the love of God. And he goes on to say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is what we have. These are now the qualities of Jesus as the seed. And I'm saying the seed so that you get ready to harvest. In the midst of the times that we are living in, it's harvest time for the church kingdom. It's harvest time for the sons of God. It's harvest time for the saved. It's harvest time for those who have come into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. He says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have it. It's a present, continuous provision and supply from God. We're not searching. By receiving Jesus, you are redeemed by his blood, forgiven, and given forgiveness also to walk therein. And then verse 15, what is this that we are receiving in Jesus? We are receiving the very image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Hallelujah. Which means everything that you and I could ever desire, when we pray, we're no longer praying or denying it as though the name of Jesus is just a slogan to get something. No, we come with the authority that says, I pray in the name of the image of the invisible God. I pray in the name of the firstborn over all creation, which means nothing in the horizontal sphere of creation can inhibit my provision from God. Why? Because I come in the name that cannot be limited by anything that is created. Why? Because he is the firstborn over, not the firstborn of creation. Know that he is the firstborn over all creation, which means that creation was finished first in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Creation was finished in him, and he was exalted by God to be the standard of whatever will claim the image of the Creator. If you and I are to claim the image of God, Jesus is the only way. Why? Because in him, the creation of God, the creative virtue of God, was finished and sealed by him, as we told verse 16. He says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things were created through him and for him. It means he's the seed in everything that you're praying about. So what do? You're praying now. Arise, shine, and throw in your prayer of intercession as the sickle to harvest the goodness of God out of the Son of his love. This is your portion, my friend. This is my portion. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might until we meet again on Destined for Glory right here on Finding My Way. Glory. God bless you.